Hey there, you're with Disembodied Podcast. This is Evie Escher. My guest this week is Seph Dietlin. That is Seph, S-E-P-H, not T-H. And he's a human potential activator and a new thought leader. He's a conscious filmmaker, a content creator, a certified hypnotherapist, an angel psychic medium, and an energy healer. So he created the Ascension with the Angels Tarot, and he also facilitates courses and events designed to empower others to access higher levels of conscious awareness. As an angel communicator, Seph's messages focus on revelations and guidance for humanity in heralding the new earth, which is a collective conscious revolution, and the transformational process that humanity is currently experiencing. Seph is trying to shatter some false paradigms that we collectively hold, and he likes to share what the angelic realm has taught him about conscious awareness, or the quantum field of intelligence, however you want to look at it, and its role in causing us to be powerful, conscious creators. If you live in Southern California, by the way, you can get readings from Seph at a monthly holistic health fair called Heartspace OC in Laguna Woods. He will also do readings outside of the fair, of course, but that's just one more way to see him. So let's get to Seph. Sit tight. Here we go. Seph, welcome to Disembodied Podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Evie. I'm glad to be here.
So you have a lot going on with angels, giving angel messages, and you have your own tarot deck having to do with the angels. I'm curious how you got started with that. You were a realtor basically in Southern California, right? In the beginning? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I couldn't talk about going from one end of the spectrum to the other, right? But everything has a unifying factor. So in the early part of the 2000s, this is almost a little more than 20 years ago, I had a huge setback in my life that dealt with relationship and business. So it wasn't quite yet the collapse that would happen in 2006 and 8 with the real estate stuff. But there was a personal setback in that area. And as a result of that, I had a reaction to that, like a panic attack and that sort of thing. And I went to go pray to God, who I didn't really talk to that much in those days. And I asked if I could, you know, exit whatever this simulation is. Can I please leave? It's a little difficult here. And I think your listeners could relate to hitting that point a few times where they would really love to just sort of turn it off or make it stop moving, at least to that direction. And instead, once I realized that God was not going to grant me that wish, I said, okay, that's fine. Then I want to see my angels. I want to talk to them. And I want a tangible relationship with them. I don't want to just believe that they're there. I want to be able to talk to them. And instantaneously, I felt something touch my body. I felt a voice inside in second person say, Seph, everything's going to be okay. In fact, it's not just going to be okay. It's going to be amazing. And the peace that overcame me allowed me to speak or sleep peacefully that night. In fact, my dog and cat got up on the bed and they looked around and they could see something was encircling me, energetically speaking, and I could feel their presence in the room. So the next day, I woke up sort of wondering if that was a dream or a figment of my imagination. And while I was pondering that, I heard the second person voice inside say, hello. And then from being able to tap into that second person voice, which had apparently been turned back on, I remembered that I had conversations with these angels when I was a kid, and I had totally forgotten about it. And they said to me, we have work to do, and that the event that had taken place took place so that I would call them in and not the other way around. In other words, they didn't respond to the event. That event was set up so that I would call them in because it was time for us to start chatting, I guess you could say. So I held it as a bit of a secret for quite a while. I would find ways to help people. I could hear the angels speak to me inside and suggest something. Of course, I wouldn't tell anyone that it was coming from them, but it always was right on. So it was like the beginning stages of doing psychic readings or intuitive readings or angel empowered intuitive readings, whatever words you like to use as nomenclature. And it just sort of escalated from there. They told me that one day I would lose everything. Somewhere down the line, they told me that one day I would lose everything in order to pivot myself into doing my life's work with them. And of course, when the real estate debacle happened, of course, as you know, in Orange County, because you're in that area, it happened in 2006. And then the rest of the country knew about it in 2008. But the week before the real estate market froze, the angel said, "Are you ready to let it all go?" And I said, "Sure." And a week later, the market froze. So that's how we got connected.
How were you so receptive to this? Because for one, you, assuming that you had last talked to the angels when you were a kid, you had gone a long time probably without having any type of spiritual interaction. So how were you so receptive to it? How did you trust it?
Initially, because the situation that invited them in or re-invited them in, I was, let's say, desperate for something that would give me peace. And so that made me easily receptive. Good question, by the way. And it made me easily receptive to it. Once I actually realized I was speaking to them, I couldn't not be receptive because it's quite enamoring. Because not only do you hear something inside your mind or whatever variation that is for those who can speak to their angels, but it also comes accompanied with this energy frequency that I can explain now, but had no context for explaining it, just experiencing it. So you feel this immense sense of peace and this immensely expanded sense of being. And for anyone who does any sort of something for escape into a higher state of being, whether it's extreme sports or, you know, drugs or alcohol or anything like that, where you want some heightened sense of being, you get that from being connected to the angels. And it's quite a draw to be able to feel that at the same time. And early on, I utilized that feeling as a sort of a litmus that it must be them, because love is very interesting energy signature, which we all recognize. We can't explain it completely with words, but we know what it is. We just say the word, and we immediately know what it is. And when we're in the presence of someone, we can feel whether they're radiating it or not, or whether they're put up a wall and they're not. Nobody has to tell us. And even if somebody tells us they are and they aren't, or they aren't and they are, we know the difference by how we feel. And so being connected to them, you get this sense of feeling like you're in this magnificent love. And it's very fulfilling.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of experience here and there with people kind of drawing in an angelic presence. And Dr. T, a guy that I interviewed, did that quite well. And I felt kind of like a loving energy around me, kind of embracing me while he mm-hmm. was talking to me. And I can sense that that's quite addictive, actually. I mean, yeah. I would want that all the time.
Well, and more to that point, when someone engages in something addictive, that love of the creator, which the angels bring to us, exactly what we seek. So, you know, if we want a new Aston Martin because it's going to give us this sort of heightened well-being or anything else that we want that seems to actually give that, what we're all seeking, even those who utilize recreational drugs, what we're all seeking is that genuine connectivity to that source energy. And that's truly what we seek. And so we get it authentically from that source. But there is something about us that recognizes and seeks that connectivity, because that's where we really start to serve our purpose in life. And this is one of the things that the angels have taught me over the years, is that field that connects and unites every living being, which is called the quantum field. And scientists are diving into it through, you know, quantum science disciplines and all of that. But technically, it's just the mind of the creator. And we tap into that when we're tapped into our angels. And we know that we're tapped into it because the creator is unconditional love. And that's one of the things that they taught me. And so when we're feeling that unconditional love, and you talk about that embrace, that's when we really begin to create miracles in our lives, which is amazing, that it just takes that feeling and that connectivity. And the next thing you know, we're drawing life force energy through us. We're expressing life force energy. And it's such an easy way to do it. And the next thing you know, everything that we work on and attempt to create with our imagination and our higher self just ends up materializing because we're energizing it with the true and authentic source.
And they're satisfying things that materialize. I feel like people get very caught up in wanting to get rich quick with a spiritual formula or some sort of consciousness hack. But the thing is I don't feel a lot of satisfaction with, I guess, you know, buying a new car is a pleasurable thing. I have to say I've done it before and I've enjoyed it. But I mean, the shine wears off of that new thing so quickly. And you start to feel kind of the burden of it when it gets scratched, when it gets damaged in a fender bender, when something goes wrong with it. And even if something doesn't go wrong with it, you immediately start to crave something different or new or better. And I think putting your energy into consciousness expansion, I think you're kind of getting more of a return out of that. You're not getting something that's going to grow old quickly, but you're actually expanding your awareness and your life in a lot of respects. While you're here on Earth, the parameters of your life are being expanded. Whereas when you just focus on getting rich quick and, well, I'll have a mansion and I'll have, you know, a Bugatti or whatever, you're kind of limiting your experience to things that die quickly. The thrill is gone very quickly. So how do you feel about that?
That's very well put. In fact, that's the way that I angle the work that I do. I teach people conscious creativity, but it's not for the purpose of finding fulfillment and energizing the material aspects. The real thrill is the being connected part and also the being creative part, because we can actually utilize the creative aspect and we can plant seeds. We can create amazing meals from our creativity. We can paint. We can, you know, plant flowers in a flower garden. We can do all kinds of amazing things that are creative. And it's when that creative energy flows through us that we feel satisfied because of the presence of that high frequency energy that is the connection to the quantum field. And yes, we actually have seen a very interesting draw through, and I love how you say hacks, conscious hacks, is this idea that you can use that conscious creator energy that's dormant inside to actually get rich in the temporal world. And it doesn't have a satisfying effect. It doesn't have a fulfilling effect. It's the actual connectivity that does, which always brings us back to being in the moment. And that's that moment where we can just have present moment awareness, find that connectivity in our heart, and it starts to surge with expansion. And we feel very fulfilled and we feel very embraced in that connectivity, and nothing external is stimulating it. And when we get into that, we start creating amazing things. Now, of course, we want to thrive here. And I definitely know that the work that we do, when we do our work, is connecting each other and ourselves to that source through a portal. And then we do get to thrive. And if part of that means that we're not supposed to work so hard and we can enjoy the beauty of this planet, that we can connect with each other authentically and have beautiful relationships instead of being consumed with working four jobs to get by, yes, then I'm all for that, for sure. And that's what we're meant to create, especially as we move into the new Earth. A lot of the constructs that we have come to believe that we trust to support humanity have outlived their life cycle, right?
And religion being one of them, I would say.
Sure. Yeah. The money system also, the banking system.
right?
You know, a fake currency unit that you're being charged usury to use, right? And then what does that do? That usurps all of that. And the currency system should only be a way to equalize the distribution of our contributions. But because all of that energy has been pulled out of it by its illegal owners, then that creates the poverty in the world. And so now we're ready to move past what we've learned from that paradigm, which is focusing our energy on that and bringing something different. And so the government is one of them that the angel said, because that is also another entity which no longer has the capacity to serve a quantum evolving humanity. It's based in linearity and limitations and all of that. And as we go through this transition to free ourselves of these sort of constructs that are limiting as we evolve, this is where our work becomes very valuable, because then we all thrive together. And we're not meant to sort of be consumed by just the doing of things on a physicalized plane, as much as we're here to be spiritualized physical beings and actually in expression of that greater energy.
So what do you think the time frame is on this new order that's coming into being?
Yeah. And first of all, let's be aware of the words, because there's another connotation with new order. We call it the new earth, but the new order is another sort of idea or concept that's going out, where these constructs that limit humanity have sort of united the power that they have at the moment to try to increase that power that they have. Whether that's true or not, or whether that can actually move forward or not, that's a different story. So one of the things that the angels told me when they first came to me, as we happen to sort of find ourselves in this place in the conversation, is that there is a relevancy to this shift in consciousness. All of this has to do with, as long as the old system is escalating humanity's consciousness, it will be in place, but it will never get to a point where it actually ties down or entraps humanity, because humanity is an expression of the Creator. So what the Creator created can't actually take over the Creator, right? Which is us. So that should give peace to a lot of people who are worried while they're watching events unfold right now. But I want to bring that back to the relevancy of what we're talking about, because when the angels came to me, they taught me or revealed to me about these shifts that are happening, including the one of the physical world constructs that are sort of tightening their grasp, so to speak, and how consciousness is meant to rise up and overpower that, or transcend it is a better word. And so as these physical world constructs are making a bit of a power play, it is only allowed by the Creator because it escalates consciousness and its activation. And that's the only reason that it's allowed by the Creator. Until such time as consciousness and mass is escalated to a certain point to be able to conceptualize new constructs, then it will be there only as a teaching mechanism, but it will only be allowed to go so far. Now, the angels have given me multiple timelines, but they also say that within the next 2 or 3 years from now, which is 2023 already, but in the next 3 years, we will definitely see the quantum realm overtaking the reality through conscious ascension.
Wow. And how will that manifest specifically?
So they don't have an opportunity to give us specifics of the how. They've just given me a vision of what it looks like. In the end. And I've actually had an opportunity unexpectedly recently to astral travel to that place in time. Wow. Now understand that this place in time is not something that exists conceptually, but because time is a false construct, it actually already does exist. So in order to astral travel to this place, it actually already does exist. And it's this beautiful freedom. If you could imagine being at one of your favorite events, like maybe Coachella or Ultra Music Festival in Miami or something like that, where there's a lot of love and unity in the air and people are just in love with each other, right? And that's one of the most predominating things that will occur. And of course, this is a good reference back to the beginning of our conversation, because we were talking about being enveloped or wrapped in the presence of love or the source of love. So at this point, we're all consciously aware enough that we're radiating and enveloped by it at the same time. And then guess what? United by it. And so we've already had glimpses of that. Like I said, if we go to some place like that, like Coachella, or we go to the beach with a crowd of people that we love and have a bonfire, we do all these kind of things. And all of a sudden we feel this presence of not only just love within ourselves, but in that event with those that are participating, and everybody's in this amazing, connected and united space. That's one of the biggest factors that will exist when we get into this new earth. And from there, we won't be debating in what way we construct the new constructs that sort of organize and serve us. We'll already know, because that love will connect us to the source and the ideas will come from there. We'll just be recipients of it, as opposed to having two different minds that's sort of like, well, this is good. No, this is good. No, I want the blue. No, I want the red, you know, whatever. There won't be those two different sides, because it'll all be just becoming through receptivity. So that's what I know about this. And I've seen the new earth, and we don't work as much. We only do work that we love, and we only do it because it satisfies it. And of course, there is no more poverty. There's no more war. It's not just the absence of all of that. It's the presence of something that's quite amazing. It's like being at a rave without any synthetic assistance, shall we say, of feeling good, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So this phase is being ushered in, and it is starting soon, but it's not going, we're not going to achieve this state of being right away, of course.
No, because there is a process to this. And the process isn't because the creator isn't powerful enough to make it happen instantaneously. It's that the discovery and the expansion that is part of being in this process can't occur if we just sort of quantumly jump to that final reality, which is why some people are able to visit it astrally at this moment. I'm not the only one who's astral traveled to this place lately and able to share what we've been able to see. And all of that is just so that we can come back and share what that is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. When you say astral travel, are you doing this at night while dreaming, like a lucid dream? Or are you using a technique to get out of your body and astral travel?
No, it's like that, where I wake up and I am relaxing. And the next thing I know, I am being taken places by my angel guides, by the angels that I communicate with, and being shown certain things. I don't cause it to happen. It just happens when it does. Now, when I had this astral travel to the ascension, or to a time spot post ascension, shall we say, I was also in Santa Fe, you know, having slept three nights above the onyx that is underneath the city of Santa Fe. There's on, you know, onyx crystals underneath the ground in Santa Fe, so they say. And it's a very powerful activating place. Like Sedona is a very powerful activating place as well. And Santa Fe is as well, for some reason. It was while I was there, and it was on my last night there. So apparently the energy of activation that was accumulating around there made that possible for me to meet my angels there in that time point.
Wow, that's interesting, because I love Santa Fe. I've been wanting to go back. I've been thinking about planning a little trip like in May or June or something, but I have never picked up on the presence of the onyx crystals, although I'm going to try to do that when I go back. But what I tend to feel there is there's something about the breeze. I get very obsessive about like the breeze and the there's something about it. I don't know what it is. I should probably meditate on it to kind of really tune into it. But when I've been there, there's like this beautiful breeze kind of going through the manzanita. And it's just such a peaceful energy And when you go into town, it's a little touristy, I have to admit. On the weekends, there's a lot of motorcycle riders. There's a lot of people milling around, which kind of disrupts a bit of that peacefulness. But if you can stay just slightly outside of the fray there, you pick up on just this really peaceful energy. And I think that's what I'm craving. I think I really crave that, because in Southern California, there's less of that, you know.
You know, there is less of that now. And one of the great places I love to explore in Southern California that seems protected in that sense is Laguna Beach. And Laguna Beach is what I consider home for me. It's an amazing space that's still connected to the Lemurian energy. And if you're getting a guidance to go be part of that, one of the things that I hear now from the angels, and this is for anyone in the audience too, if you're feeling guided to go somewhere right now that has that activation quality, then honor it. Because even if it requires resources that you don't know where it's going to come from, the resources will reveal themselves because it's part of your divine mission. Being there is part of that experience. Now, it's funny that you say that about the other aspect of Santa Fe that can be distracting. And it's actually a good macrocosm of the microcosm, if you will, because we have the same thing going on internally, where we have this beautiful, beautiful place where we can connect to the higher realms, but we also have a place inside of us that can distract us from being connected to that as well. So like you mentioned, every time I go to Santa Fe, I spend very little time in the areas that attract the masses. And usually I'll stay at an Airbnb that is at the end of a dirt road and outside of that area that's near the town center in Santa Fe. But New Mexico and the land is very, very activating. In fact, I was there recently. I also drove up to this church that's about an hour outside of Santa Fe. I have to recall the name of it, but it's very well known when you're in the area. It's a place where miracles happen, where people leave their crutches behind and things like that. And I was driving up there, and the land, once you get out of Santa Fe in New Mexico, is just so beautiful. It just takes you into a zone. The hills, the dirt, it happened to be snowing when I was there, so it was quite enchanting, which is funny because that's what they call themselves, the land of enchantment. But you really do have to get off of the beaten path and where the collective is congregating outside of the vibration that you seek. And you can find it there in a certain way, for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely a great energy there. And I often think I would love to buy like a little house or something there. But then I'm so often in California. And I think, is it going to just be something I'm going to worry about, like leaving it there? And then I'd have to rent it out. And then I couldn't always stay there when I show up. And, you know, it's like, these are the convolutions of owning things. And that's why it's almost better just to go there and stay in an Airbnb and not deal with all of that extraneous stuff. But I would almost like to live there part of the year, at least.
Yeah. That's part of actually what's happening now. And I will share this with you and the audience, of course, which is we are being drawn to be in certain places to meet certain people. And that's the primary reason why we're being drawn also into some of these other areas as well. At this present moment, I'm being drawn to Hawaii for a couple of months. And I'm not even concerned with the practicality of how that happens. My work is virtual, which is great. But in essence, I know that it's a very activating place. And I know that I'm meant to go and meet there. So I've become a digital nomad in the last couple of years. And that was foretold to me in January of 2020. So for those in your audience who are feeling these nomadic tendencies all of a sudden and can't quite justify that with the sort of stability that we seek as a human being, know that it's part of your ascension. And so being drawn out there or finding a home out there, as we become multidimensional beings, the next thing that's possible is we're going to create home in all kinds of places. And it might not just be Santa Fe or Hawaii, or Sedona, or Miami, or all these other places. But there's a certain amount of energy, and a lot of that energy is from this surge of ascension energy that seems to find itself being activated like these little wellsprings all over the planet. And in some ways, you're being asked, and I'm speaking to the audience as well, you're being asked to go and stoke those fires and be part of that connectivity. Bring what you've learned in your own seeking and also discover what they've learned in their own seeking and make that exchange.
That's a great way to look at it. It almost feels kind of selfish sometimes, like, oh, I need a vacation. I'm just going to go here or there. But there is a way to interact with people that you wouldn't come across normally. I mean, obviously, I'm in California a lot. So yeah, I mean, that is a good reason to just make an exchange with those you meet. And the last time I was in Santa Fe, actually, I met some interesting people and had some great conversations. So mm-hmm. I was happy for that.
Yeah, there is a lot of that going on where we're being drawn to meet our awakened brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, and connect. And this is why I created an online community. I created an online community for those that want to stay in that expanded state. Because one of the things that I discovered, which is mind-blowing, is that the default setting when you go around and do talk to other people and meet other people or go to a family gathering or whatever, you end up having this sort of complaint festival, right? Everything is about what you don't like or what those people are doing or whatever. And when you get with conscious people, you have a very expansive conversation and you stay in an expanded space. And from that expanded space, you go out and create miracles. If you think about any of the avatars that mentioned to us, gave us advice, you know, not to gossip or whatever, it makes perfect sense that it's actual metaphysical advice because it's asking us to get out of our left brain and go into heart and mind cohesion or left and right hemisyncing, whatever you want to call that, right? And from that place, we're powerful because we're drawing from the source of life. But when we're sitting around in a gathering, for example, and complaining about the way things are in the world or the price of gas or whatever, then we're actually detaching ourselves from the power to create miracles. And so we want to be connected with those who also want to be connected because the default conversation mode doesn't really serve us for staying in that quantum state. So I created a community so that we can actually do that. But that is one of the trends that's happening right now is literally unity, community, those words. And that's one of the trends that's occurring right now as part of the ascension is the unity and community of those that are awake and understand energy and the power to be connected to the quantum realm and synergizing that power. So again, even though there may be an extraordinary draw for any of us to go to certain places and it may feel self-motivated, it doesn't matter because the draw is very real because you actually have a contribution to make to the planet and the ascension when you do that.
That's a good frame. That's a good way to see it.
Yeah.
So what do we do with all the people, you know, maybe family members or, you know, people that we don't get along with and that are not vibing with us, not thinking like us? Do we avoid them or do we somehow try to include them?
Right. That's a very good question. So what we do is we give it to the flow. And this is magical because we tell the flow, I surrender to this situation. We tell the quantum field, we tell the creator, we tell our angels and guides, we say, I surrender to this situation, whatever's meant to be. Now, if we're not meant to be around them, then something will occur to make sure that we're not. Something that doesn't involve us or something that doesn't make us look elitist when we say, oh, I can't hang out with you because all you do is complain, right? But what if sometimes we're meant to be around it because we're meant to actually learn something from witnessing, but we also hold the space for love for that person? Because that person is us in another body anyway, and there is no us and there is no them. So perhaps part of us being around them energetically is a way of freeing them. And maybe it sounds selfless to some and selfish to others. but it's not to be judged because it's the power of actually releasing all that we can, which is part of our mission here, because in releasing others, we're releasing ourselves. I find myself quite frequently in the presence of a conversation that has a lower frequency, and I'm just witnessing. And then I say to the angels, why would you like me to be here? Not like, why am I here again with resistance, but please reveal what you'd like me to know from being here. Because I'm definitely aware that there is a different energy frequency here. And as much as I'd like to lift up those who have yet to see the difference of being stuck in that paradigm in our minds or being elevated. And even we can go back and forth from time to time. Someone can rib us on the side and say, hey, you know, here's this thing. And then we participate. And next thing you know, what did I just do? I just took myself out of alignment. It's easy to do, to go back and forth. So we're not necessarily meant to exalt ourselves above those who aren't there yet, because they will be. One of the things the angel said at the beginning is that everyone who is on this planet at the point of the ascension will elevate their frequency. And some of us get to do it ahead of time because we're just holding flashlights to show the way to others, but not because we're better or anything like that. We're just holding flashlights to show the way, hence the word way showers. The best way is just to give it to the source and say, what would you like me to do? And again, I can tell you that if we're not meant to be around someone, the source will find a way to make it diplomatic that it brings us into a different space. But if we are there, then we just ask, okay, I'm here. You ask me to be here right now. I'm listening. I'm open. I'd love to know what you're revealing here. And we get something out of it.
Yeah, that's a very balanced approach, I would say. I think a lot of people seem to be frustrated with others who are not thinking like themselves. And that comes on any side of anything. You know, I mean, religious people are always frustrated with non-religious people, and spiritual people are frustrated with religious people and maybe non-spiritual people. And there's so many sides to the coin, so to speak. And I feel like if we can somehow learn to communicate and not constantly get on our high horse and go, well, if you were only as advanced as I am, you know, that's kind of the problem. If we could get away from that, kick out that stool that we're standing on and just kind of come down to earth a little and realize that everybody does have something to contribute. Even if it's something you think you don't want to hear, maybe you need to know that this is just a way of thinking and seeing things.
Right. Well, we always know love when we're in its presence, and we always know when it's being blocked. And so if it's being blocked in a situation, we can hold the space for it. And if it becomes difficult, we can just hold the space for it remotely. And that's also very powerful because it has the ability to shift things. And if you don't mind, I'm going to use an example.
Sure.
So there was an opportunity that I had to learn how to really powerfully use this when I had gone out of town and I let a friend of mine borrow my car, and someone hit her on Sunset Boulevard, and the car ultimately ended up getting totaled. So I ended up taking the car to a shop in Los Angeles, and unbeknownst to me, it was being run by a organized crime. And they had this sort of scam where they turned the insurance adjuster away every time they showed up to do their assessment on the vehicle. And so it accumulated, let's say, a month's worth of storage. And then they wanted to scam the insurance company for that. And if they didn't pay it, then they'd try to scam you for it. Now, that's a very, very oppressive situation to be in and to find yourself in that situation. Now, I recall when I was out of town and my friend got into the accident, and instead of being upset because the car was damaged, I was like, I wonder what amazing things I meant to discover through this journey. So I was able to turn that situation around because my friend was okay. And it was just a hunk of metal, right? I was like, wow, if this is happening, it's happening because it's here to bring a blessing and here to bring some experiences. So it took about a month before the insurance company revealed to me that, you know, they knew what was going on, et cetera. And I got the Bureau of Auto Repair in California involved. They knew who these people were. And ultimately, I was in the middle of this. And the angels told me to take these people, because I had interacted with them, not knowing what they were actually up to. So I know who they were. So I went into a meditation and I took them back to a regressed space where they were 5 years old and at the playground. And I imagined lifting them up and lovingly just giving them a hug and saying, you do not have to exploit other people to live in abundance. Your abundance is your birthright, and you do not have to be afraid that you'll be without, and so afraid that you'll be without that you have to exploit other people to make sure that you have what you need on this earth plane. And I gave them a hug and I genuinely felt the love for them. And the very next day, I got a call from the Bureau of Auto Repair and they said, I don't know how this happened, but those people are willing to let you off the hook. And they gave my insurance company a number. And within about 2 hours, the insurance adjuster said that she had the car in her possession and that we were moving forward.
Wow.
It was a very interesting way to learn, again, how to hold that space. Because the reason I like this experience is because it was so suppressive. And most situations that we end up in aren't even nearly that suppressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some are more suppressive. But this was about as suppressive as it can get. And so there's a lot of other things that, for example, we could have a friend that's upset with us for something we didn't do or whatever. We just take them into a meditation, imagine their 3 or 4 year old version, just so lovable and playful. We pick them up and give them a hug and we say, I still love you. And believe it or not, the work that we do when we do that actually translates on the quantum realm and will actually be received by that person. So it's a very powerful way to create unity when we know how to do this.
Yeah, that's a great story, actually. Even when people generally do you wrong, you should probably never really give in to hate, because I think hate is something that sort of eats the inside of you, doesn't really do any good, doesn't rectify anything. But that's a very practical thing to visualize. Mm-hmm. And this is something anybody could do. It's not like a difficult technique. I like that.
No, of course. And you know, actually was having a conversation with someone about this today, coincidentally, not so coincidentally, about our mind's reaction to just about anything that causes resistance within us. And our mind always thinks that it's such a helpful measure to do things like hate someone as a reaction to their actions, to go into fear over something that happened, or go into worry because something's going to happen. And our mind tells us that this is the reaction that we can have, and that somehow or another, it's helpful without telling us to do it. And we do it naturally until we become conscious and start to catch ourselves and then reverse that and apply energy in the right area. But as a default human being, or the default settings of being a human being that's unawakened, yes, we do have a myriad of falsely helpful reactions that end up taking us into some derivative of fear that we think, oh yeah, it's going to help us. And like I said to someone one day, like, you know, people are seeing this widespread corruption in our governments, right? Well, what is sitting around a table complaining about it? How is that actually going to make the situation resolve? It's not. All it does is takes us out of alignment where we can imagine, visualize, raise our own consciousness, and visualize a world where we find a solution to actually eliminate the old system and bring in the new. None of us have seen a floppy disk in a very, very long time because we have a new way of transferring information, right?
Yes.
And especially not those old big ones that you could bend, right? We haven't seen any of those in a very long time because we've evolved beyond that. But all of these other ways, we don't yet visualize the way in which we're going to move beyond utilizing this into a new way that works a little bit better. So as we go to that, recognizing those parts inside of us that actually somehow or another react in a way that disconnects us, is a great way of moving forward, because from there, we're going to catch ourselves a little bit more easily. And then we're going to start fueling the right energy or the right use of the light into these situations. And then we're going to see them change magically.
I think we need a lot of solutions like this because we have such bad tendencies, humans, just to shut people out, hate people. And yep. There's so many kind of useless things that we do and violence, really. Violence is just a, you know,
yeah,
kind of an inexcusable thing that we tend to use against others. So
yeah.
I'm all for it. I like your approach. How do you do readings? Presumably you give angel readings. You have your own tarot deck. How do you approach readings? Do you tell people the future or do you tell people the present?
That's a good question. So I just relay whatever the angels have for someone. And so in addition to doing readings, I also am a hypnotherapist. So in the hypnotherapy that I practice as well, I connect people directly to their angels. When I do readings, I use energy healing modality as well. So people get an energy healing from the angels, but also the information. I just tell them what the angels have for them. And if they're trying to resolve something, then I tell them what the angels say will help guide them in the direction that they want. Now, the future in this kind of reading isn't really what we're after as much as we're looking to gain that connectivity back. And then the likelihood of creating something or something that's meant to be. Now, the angels do access our records, so they'll tell us what we've signed up for. So I guess, in essence, you could say that's a way of telling the future in a more authentic way. So to use a practical example, if someone comes to me about a job opportunity, and I get a lot of those, I can tell them what job opportunity or the way that the job opportunity or where they are in their path in regards to what they signed up for in their Akashic records. And once you see that, then you know where you are in the path and where you're actually going. So does that tell the future? Yes, but it tells you also the present because it's what you signed up for as a soul before you came here. And then if there's some area where we are standing in our own way, let's say, the angels have a very non-judgmental way of guiding us back into center and connectivity through the readings. But I also do the same thing through hypnotherapy, where I take people into a meditative state and I give them the opportunity to activate their higher potential. I give people the opportunity to go visit the records with their angels, which is really powerful. I discovered that one by accident and it was super cool. And then it started happening again over and over again. But I give those sessions to the angels when I go in there. But I also teach classes. I teach people how to communicate with their angels. I teach a tarot class online of how to connect with guidance and the angels. And I did create a tarot deck that has an activation. It's called the Ascension with the Angels Tarot Deck. So those are all different ways that in whatever way someone wants to sort of plug in or tap in to find themselves empowered. But each one of them, whenever I do them, it's always a matter of helping that person connect directly or I guess indirectly to the angels themselves to actually get their own power back.
That's good. You're empowering people.
Exactly.
So are they afraid to access their Akashic records? Because I would think some people are.
Wow, that's a good question. I haven't encountered anyone who is not excited about it. And I guess usually by the time they come to me and they're ready to do it, they're more excited to access them than fearful. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the mentality where we're at, whether we're ready to see what we have signed up for or not. Because usually when people come to me and they're ready to access the Akashic mm-hmm. records, it's because they understand that they created something and they want to have a glimpse of it so that they know not just what's going to happen, but how they want to make sure to align themselves. And let me use a very good example. There's a lot of people right now, and I'm sure you're finding this to be the case, and this is, of course, speaking directly to the audience. If you're one of those people who found that over the last 6 or 7 years, you started something thinking it was your thing, and then life abruptly took you a whole different direction, you thought, oh, okay, well, this is it, right? And then you're doing that thing, and then life disrupted you again, and now you're doing something else, but maybe you still even have a thirst for one of the things that you left behind. There's a lot of people in that position right now. I'm sure you've experienced that as well, right? And
yeah, I have.
Yeah. And our purpose here is to expand. It's to gain that expansion and that permanent connectivity to the quantum field and to be the Christed consciousness that we're designed to be, that conscious creator that we're meant to be. So each time these emanations appear in the temporal world, they're not really the reason that we're here. It's part of the expansion. So we have to give it the hierarchy that it deserves because all of those things occur in a temporal world, but they make a contribution on a higher level of who we are. And we don't want to miss out on that higher level contribution because we're attached to something in the way that it shows up in the temporal world. But when the angels come, they help us re-perceive these things in a way that it's acceptable, that goes beyond our resistance. And they help us anytime we encounter resistance, which is super amazing because this is a way of actually peeling back the layer of the mind that wants to protect us. Thank God for our mind to do that for us, but peel back that layer, right? So that we can actually go to our own higher states of awareness and remember why we created that or that way or whatever.
Yeah. When you're saying that, I'm kind of thinking about how lately I've really been on this crusade to pursue art in all its manifestations, because for so many years, I kept saying, oh, I'm going to take an art class because I love art. And then I wouldn't. I would take something more practical, or I'd take something that I have this situation sometimes with wanting to do art, but thinking, oh, I'll never create the thing I want to create, whether it's in writing or, you know, I like to write as well, or it's in ceramics, or it's in a painting or printmaking, whatever medium I use. I often have that feeling. I almost give up before I try it, I think. So lately I've just said, you know what, I'm just going to go do it and stop thinking or canceling the experience before I get there.
Right.
And I've actually had some odd breakthroughs just with doing quirky things that really are enjoyable for me. And I'm hoping they'll turn out to be something that people want or that I want to keep, but it doesn't really matter anymore. I'm just trying to go for it and without so many restrictions, because I have that really strong desire to create things and I feel like I shouldn't shut it down anymore.
I love that you said that. And let me share this. So in between being a real estate agent and working with the angels, I've also done a couple of other things. And one of them was I went to film school and I was an actor in Hollywood for a little while and worked on television. And I also wrote. So the thing I really liked was the script writing or the screenwriting. And I wrote a show that I got green lit, but it didn't come together. It was really fun to be in that. Now, the reason I share that is because what happens when we get into that creative process is it's that creativity that shuts down the mind. Now, when you write scripts or when all the shows that you've ever watched, when those scripts are written, they're written in a writer's room. And in that writer's room, they have Play-Doh, Legos, toys, and things like that, because it's actually the opportunity to get the mind that wants to interfere and gives you writer's block, it gives you an opportunity to actually keep that at bay. So you see that sort of playing and that sort of imagination are interconnected. And that imagination is what we love to be in. So whenever I used to write scripts with a friend of mine, we'd put together Lego things. We would play with Play-Doh. We would do all that kind of stuff. Because when you actually shut down the human mind, the ego, the left brain, the logical mind, linear mind, whatever word you want to use for it, when you actually shut it down, then consciousness, stream of consciousness can flow. You open up the bandwidth to receive from stream of consciousness. So if you just take watercolors and you put up a piece of, the medium paper you used to watercolor and just paint these colors, it doesn't matter, because when you get into that, you're going to shut down the mind and you are going to hear some amazing guidance and some amazing insights for your life. So being in that flow of creativity is all we want to place ourselves in, because we plug into the quantum field through doing that.
Yeah, it's a powerful energy. And if you just let it in and stop trying to postpone it or whatever, which is what most of us do, I feel like we tend to cancel out a lot of great experiences. And another thing about art that I want to mention is that often when you take art classes, you're in a room with people and you get to collaborate on things. People talk to you about what you're doing and you talk to them about what they're doing. And there's a certain collaboration almost that's kind of rare in society nowadays. Mm-hmm. And the writer's room, I always thought of the writer's room as probably a stressful place. I didn't know they had Play-Doh and stuff. That's very encouraging.
Well, I'll tell you when I was writing scripts and then I'd do readings, that at that time, my intuition was off the charts.
Wow.
Because I was open up to that. And I realized, oh my gosh, of course, you're accessing collective consciousness to come up with these ideas and imagine. So as part of actually staying fresh for my clients, when I teach and do all those other things, I make sure that I do things that make me expand it, because with being expanded, it gives me more access to the information. And it has a critical role in that as well. But it doesn't matter if you serve people with your intuition or if you're using your own intuition to guide you through your entrepreneurial experience. If you take a break and go to the beach, go be in nature, go do something creative, you're actually fueling your creation. Whatever that might be, your intuition, you're fueling all of that because you're opening up and you're suspending the gatekeeper of the critical mind, and you're actually opening it up so that you begin to flow with stream of consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a valuable thing. And, you know, if we're moving into a future where we don't have to work as much as we have in the past, all the more reason to exercise that creativity. And, you know, if we actually have the time for it, and that is really the thing. I think Americans have worked themselves very hard in the last, 100 years or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they weren't as hardworking in the beginning. I think there's a certain entrepreneurial spirit that's associated with the Europeans coming over here and creating this, the grid of each city and building all of this architecture and all of the stuff that they did. I think there's a certain, maybe a hyperactivity of, making people want to work overtime and work themselves too hard. Maybe that's precisely what we need to move away from, that initial energy that this country was kind of founded upon.
That's a whole nother conversation right there. And it's a good one. And I hope you get to host that one on your show sometime with someone else. Yes, the whole thing about balance and about actually truly accessing the source and being inventive and creative and visionary and all of that is definitely more accessible when we do it in the opposite way in which we've been entrained to do it in this reality through society in what setup. We're watching it all the time. People are sick. They're burnt out. They're all of those things. And that does actually bring us to a good crescendo point with our conversation too, because that actually is the benefit of being connected consciously through our angels, through our spirit guides, through our own intuition, is because what does happen is that we end up being guided to gain more balance in life. We end up flowing with life force energy more easily. We end up finding greater health and vitality. And we end up becoming aware when we start to burn ourselves out, which is great. Because other than that, without that, you just think that you just need to push yourself. And if you watch like a typical like influencer that's all about coaching, all they do is tell people, you just got to go out and do it. You just got to go out and do it, like that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That's not actually how it's done. It's not done from pushing yourself beyond what's there, because inspiration and guidance tells us when we're supposed to act in accordance with bringing us to our wishes, and when we're supposed to take a break and actually go to the beach or something and have some fun, go on a vacation, go spend time with a friend, have a new tea with a friend of ours or whatever.
So just one last question, maybe. What are your daily practices with staying in balance spiritually and, you know, maybe mentally as well. What do you do each day to kind of keep yourself grounded and feeling good?
Good question. One of the primary staples, there's two. One is doing a binaural beat meditation, because that actually forces the left and right brains to sync up, and it actually gets rid of all of the mind trash. The mind trash comes from when the left brain is separated from the right. By uniting them, all of the things that you think are a problem vanish. All the things that you think are challenging or limiting vanish, because the right brain comes in and speaks the truth. The other is automatic writing. And if you don't think you're an automatic writing candidate, then just start writing down in the morning a journal. Just allow yourself to purge all of the random thoughts, because we energize everything that we're thinking of. And if we're thinking about all of these complaints and stuff like that, then we're energizing more of that. So we want to drain it. So automatic writing or doing a journal in the morning, even if it's only 3 days a week, when I do that, it actually is an investment in time, because if you spend 20 minutes doing that, then the next thing that happens is you get that time back, because you get connected to your intuition and it guides you the rest of the day to do things that will save you much more time than that 20 minutes.
Those are excellent, excellent hacks. I don't take the time to do automatic writing. I probably should do that. That would be great for me. There's a dog going absolutely Tasmanian near my apartment. I can hear it. So on that note, we will close here. But thank you so much, Seth, for coming on and talking a lot about angels and everything that you're vibing on. Your energy's powerful, and I hope to meet you in person, since we're both Southern Californiaites.
Yes.
And we'll put a link to your website in the show notes for this episode so that people can catch up with you.
Thank you for having me.
Blessed listener, please leave your questions and comments for this episode at disembodiedpodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening.